Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is February the 22nd. I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin. Good to be back.
Yeah, last week we were snowed in, and here we are back with the snow melting.
That's right. It's about 60 degrees outside, I think.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
High 50s?
We were like in the 12-degree range last week, and now we're swinging the other way.
Yeah, well, it is good to be back, and it was great to be at church yesterday.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Because I missed, you were here last week, but I missed last week. I couldn't even get down my driveway.
Oh, yeah, the first week because of the ice.
The first week. So, but it's good to be back. So we were in Romans chapter 12 again, and I was talking to guys in my community group last night. I am so excited about chapter 12.
Yeah.
It's a chapter that I've read as a teenager. I remember reading this as a teenager, Scott, early as a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that first section, you know, offering your body as a living sacrifice was so impactful to me as a teenager, of understanding of sacrificing myself before the Lord. And, being to his service. But anyway, so...
Well, that's interesting, because I too remember. Mm-hmm. I think it was the second summer that I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that summer, I remember reading the book of Romans.
Yeah.
And Romans 12 was very helpful to me in my teenage years. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think we actually had a conference. It was all about that one verse. You know, I think it was all about being a living sacrifice. And it was a really powerful passage of scripture for me in my young walk with Christ. So So talk a little bit. Give us a recap on the sermon on Sunday. You kind of were beyond the second verse into verse 3, but give us a little bit of a recap.
Well, so chapter 12 of Romans, it begins with these words. I appeal to you, brothers. He means brothers and sisters. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. And then you have this chapter. So I think we need to keep that appeal going. We need to keep the idea that we at Romans 12, after listening to the Apostle Paul unfold the grace of God in Christ for 11 chapters, and there's a lot there. So there's a lot about the grace of God in the 11 chapters, but that's it. It's God's way of making people right with himself. Mm-hmm. 11 chapters, and then we come to chapter 12, and he starts, I appeal to you. So there's something going on there that is very, very important, very instructive for Christians, for people who have been made right with God by his grace through faith in Jesus. That is, he is appealing for us now to live in a way that reflects, that is a response to, that is motivated by, that's actually more than that, generated by the reception of God's mercy that he has unpacked in these first 11 chapters.
Yeah.
So we've come into that territory of the book of Romans. And the first one is in the first two verses, kind of a bundle there of commands. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. This is this is spiritual. Some translations, this is reasonable worship.
Yep.
Don't be conformed to the world.
Yeah.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove, do, discern the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the first appeal.
Yeah.
We come into verse 3. You know, it's connected, so it's not isolated.
Right.
Connected to that, then, is the one we looked at Sunday, the appeal. Again, Paul saying, by the grace given to me, talking about his apostleship. That's in chapter 1, chapter 15. But here's the appeal. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think with sober judgment or sound thinking, sound reasoning about yourself, according to, and then here's the phrase, the measure of faith that God has assigned. So now we're being told about the way to think of ourselves. There's an appeal being made to us. It's just really instructive. You know, I feel like right now, I know this is the follow-up podcast. I'm not supposed to re-preach it, but I kind of want to because it's so instructive and so helpful about the way we are to actually think about ourselves.
So what the question I want to ask, I know you talked about this on Sunday, so maybe this will be a little bit of a recap, but maybe even just further explaining.
Okay.
But you see in verse 1, mm-hmm. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. And then he starts laying out all these appeals, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
This. And he's getting to, do not think too highly of yourself. How mm-hmm. does the mercy of God mm-hmm. connect us mm-hmm. to how we should think of ourselves?
All right. Well, the way I'll put it, again, you could put it a lot of ways, but the way I will put it that may give people a handle for it is this. Mercy, when you are on the receiving end of mercy, mm-hmm. that's exactly what you are. You are a recipient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So mercy, let's look at mercy. Mercy is when one person extends something to another person in their great time of need.
Mm-hmm.
One is giving, providing, protecting, acting, doing something for another person. The other person is in need,
mm-hmm.
dependent, as we said Sunday. That doesn't even have a demand that they can make. It is receiving mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So recipients of mercy is what we are. Now think about that. What does that do? It puts you in a state of gratitude, a state of humility.
Mm-hmm.
You're not puffed up because you think, wow, without that mercy, I would have been in bad shape. I didn't have the resources in myself,
mm-hmm.
or else I wouldn't have needed mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was depleted.
Right.
But look, this mercy has been shown to me. So it generates this humility, this gratitude, a new graciousness.
Right.
And the way, so it's not hard to figure out. Just think of the way that makes you look at yourself.
Hmm.
You go around thinking of yourself as, I'm somebody that's been shown mercy.
Yeah.
I've been somebody that was helped. I've been somebody that was delivered. I'm someone who was given something that I couldn't get for myself.
Yeah, and didn't deserve it.
Didn't deserve it. Yeah. I received mercy.
Hmm.
It's just a new sense. There's a softness to it.
Hmm.
And so I think that's how. And I think as the people of God, you know, we need to hear the words of Jesus when he said, you know, Luke 6, be merciful because your Father in heaven is merciful.
Yeah.
He's shown you mercy. Be merciful.
Yeah.
You know, the parable that Jesus told about the guy who had a big debt and the debt was forgiven. And he turns right around and goes and grabs another guy that owed him something and didn't forgive him. And Jesus condemned that man.
Right.
So that's not in keeping, that's not the way you think of yourself when you've received mercy through a forgiven debt.
Yeah. So this maybe leads to my next question, Scott, because I think you're heading there, but how would this change or affect congregational living?
Yeah.
As we relate to one another in a church and we understand, if we can rightly think of ourselves in light of the mercy of God, how does this, you know, help us as we relate to one another in the congregation?
Well, how about if I start by saying how it doesn't?
Okay.
Because I could hear, I know, I've seen it, how people can say, well, if God has shown me such mercy and I should show other people mercy, then we live in a community that has absolutely no standard, no moral standard, no faith standard, no doctrinal standard. Why would someone think that? Well, because if we're supposed to be merciful to everyone, we can't hold them to a standard. Because that would mean if they don't match up to it, then something's got to happen. You know, there's a rebuke or there's a correction, and that's not very merciful. Okay, that is not what we're talking about.
Right.
As those who have received mercy, we live in a community at the church, in a congregation, where we rejoice in the mercy of God and we're constantly extending mercy,
mm-hmm.
His mercy, through mm-hmm. the communication of the gospel to other people, and our mercy as we're learning to forgive people and receive them and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. we're not at all letting people wander off in their sin,
right,
or in their error,
mm-hmm.
Doctrinal error or something like that, simply because we don't want to violate mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a merciful thing to deliver someone from their sin. It's a merciful thing to go to someone who's living in a doctrinal error and say, hey, that's not the way. That's going to lead down a bad road here.
So maybe it doesn't remove the what you would do, but maybe how you would do it.
Right.
To some degree.
Yes, it doesn't. I would say it doesn't remove being merciful doesn't remove the need for sometimes correction or help in a tough love kind of way.
Yeah.
But having said that, now keeping that in mind, to answer your question, we would be in a congregation where we wouldn't be puffed up.
Yeah.
We would be in a congregation where we wouldn't put our needs above others. We would be in a congregation where we wouldn't walk in and demand that everybody do it the way we want it done.
Mm-hmm.
We would be in a congregation where when things happen that aren't to our liking, we'll step back and go, oh, okay, does that really matter? Mm-hmm. Does that threaten the gospel of grace? Does that threaten the lordship of Jesus? Does that threaten the purity of the church? Because if it doesn't, I'm just going to drop that.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't need to be demanding. How can I be demanding? Right. God has shown me mercy.
Right.
We'd be in a congregation where when a person sins and repents, you know, we don't hold it over their head.
Yeah.
We don't say, yeah, well, you know, sure, you're forgiven, but we're keeping, you know, you got to prove yourself. No, we say, come to the table.
Yeah.
Christ has forgiven you. He's shown you mercy. He's shown us, but we're all here by mercy. We would be that's just a few examples of the kind of congregation we would be in.
Yeah. And it seems like too, if you're a person that has received mercy, and I think it may be the attitude of the person,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there would be a sense of gentleness in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, it doesn't mean that you would stray away from truth, but even in the truth speaking, it would come across not puffed up.
Yeah.
Which I think is sometimes we can easily be if we're coming at someone with a rebuke, or mm-hmm. we can come a little and out of anger or hate, and it's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think that spirit is often looked down on
mm-hmm.
as being weak
mm-hmm.
or as being overly tolerant of sin or. As
right.
I said,
yeah.
You know, earlier, yeah. What I was talking about earlier, that spirit of gentleness
mm-hmm.
can come across in some people's minds like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not talking about that,
right?
We've already said that. We're clearly saying,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, Jesus showed a great deal of mercy,
yeah,
and also knew when he pulled out the whip and took care of the cleansing of the temple too.
Right, right, right.
You know, he called out sin. So we're just not talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about in the general life of the congregation together, we have a merciful, gentle spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Scott, you think about when it says, don't think too highly of yourself, but have sober judgment. I don't know if this would be a problem for some, but to go to the extreme, to always think really down on themselves.
Gotcha.
Kind of an Eeyore, I call it, right?
Yeah.
Of Winnie the Pooh, if you're familiar with the cartoon, Eeyore always hung his head. Yeah. I mean, how do you, one, not be puffed up, but not go to the degree where you're just, you know, always down on yourself. I'm a horrible...
More lowly of yourself.
Yeah.
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 All right. We're getting into some territory here that I'm not a psychologist.
Right, okay? Right.
But...
You're not... This is supposed to be a therapy session.
No,
kind of.
I'm not. but I think it's pretty clear, pretty obvious that when a person is constantly down on themselves, mm-hmm. talking about their low esteem of themselves, and you know, there's a falseness to that. I mean, it can be a form of just self-centeredness, can't mm-hmm. it? I mean, mm-hmm. you can. So if you're constantly talking about how bad you are, and you know, a lot of things are wrong with that. One, you clearly are not getting God's mercy. I mean, do people who are shown mercy and delivered, do they go around talking about how they didn't deserve it? No, they're just grateful they got it.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy.
Yeah.
So you're clearly not getting the grace of God if you're constantly beating yourself up and talking about yourself as you're such a horrible person mm-hmm. and you're so lowly and all that. You're not understanding the grace of God. Secondly, it's very likely that all you're doing is trying to fish for a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, the more you talk bad about yourself, you're hoping other people will talk good about you.
Mm-hmm.
To talk you out of it. So it's kind of a weird way of getting compliments. And third, it's just self-absorbed.
Yeah.
So the opposite of not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought is not to start thinking of yourself lowly.
Yeah.
The opposite is, or the corrective is, use sound and sober judgment in thinking about yourself.
Right.
And that is, I am a person who has received God's mercy.
Yeah.
And then go back to Romans 8 or 6 or 5 and just start defining it from the Bible. What does it mean to live as a recipient of God's mercy?
Right.
And maybe we just won't think that much of ourselves.
Right.
Either too high or too low. We'll just think more about Christ and more about people and more about his kingdom.
Yeah. It's kind of like when, I think when we are recipients of the mercy of God, with that comes a new identity in Christ, mm-hmm. which helps us probably not think lowly of ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Christ. I'm redeemed. Yeah. I'm a saint. Yeah. Like I am completely forgiven in Christ.
Yeah.
Which hopefully would help not think too lowly of yourself as well.
Yeah. Gladness is what should come from the heart of somebody who's been shown mercy. Gladness.
Yeah. And I like that what you just said, you know, when you receive the mercy of God, it's almost as though your self fades.
Yeah.
And you just think more of him.
More of him.
And more of ourselves. So I think of Philippians chapter 2, you know, not to think of others more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that language, all of a sudden you kind of fade in the background.
Yes.
And the cross becomes what you're now fixed on and the glory of God. And then which then propels you to think of others more and to serve others. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we can wrap up with this. What's the vision?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm going to ask everybody listening to this podcast and everybody who heard the sermon on Sunday. Pray.
Mm-hmm.
This is the vision of our congregation.
Yeah.
That we would be a Romans 12 people.
Yeah.
Worshiping God through whole self-dedication and consecration unto him, not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our minds, thinking of ourselves soberly and soundly as recipients of mercy, entering into the congregation with that kind of dedication to God and soberness about ourselves. What kind of life will flow in this congregation from person to person? What kind of joy? What kind of interaction would be happening in group discussions and Bible studies? What kind of singing would go on? On Sundays when we're living in light of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we're getting there in Romans 12, but then think of that. What that reflects God's glory in our city. Think of hundreds of, maybe thousands of congregations like this around Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
People would say, well, there's a great God that has transformed these people.
Yeah.
That's a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying for vision. I'm praying that vision will be a reality.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask everybody listening to this to pray Romans 12.
Yeah.
We said, we did that in January. Isn't it time to move on? No.
Yeah.
No, let's keep at it.
Yeah, there's a guy, and this maybe to kind of reiterate what you're saying, the vision for the church is in a community group, we had a guy in my group, and he was just talking about, you know, about how he in the last few weeks just kind of taken the view off of himself, just little things, and kind of turned from that back to Christ. And he was like, man, all of a sudden, it's like my desire to want to share the gospel with others grew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we get the focus off of ourselves. It's what has saved us? Oh, this gospel. Oh, I want others to know this. And it was great to hear, like, man, that's an answered prayer. Yeah. We want more and more of that in my own life and all of us. Mm-hmm. So it was a good time.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, thanks. And we'll continue next week.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up in verse 4 and move a little closer into what you just talked about in terms of the congregation.
Good.
One body in Christ.
Yeah. Great. Look forward to it.
All right.